Blog Talk Radio.
How's it going, Joanne?
Oh, happy Rona. I'm getting done. I'm done with this Corona shit. Whatever, COVID, Corona, whatever you want to call it.
I thought COVID-19 was a punk band.
Yeah. That is a good name. That's a good name.
Yeah, well, that's a great name.
It is. Well, I hope everybody's doing well today. We have tonight, oh God, I'm excited. We got the original lead singer from the Rob Roys. Sometimes you don't remember the name, but you remember the song, and or vice versa. You remember the song, you don't remember the name of the band. But, I mean, the music tonight takes me back so far, John. I mean, when I was growing up in my house, well, we'll talk about it with Norman. We have the original lead singer tonight from the Rob Roys, Norman Fox. He still sounds fantastic. You should friend him on Facebook. He does these little impromptu performances, especially during the virus right now, and it is a nice treat. And also, we have singer-songwriter Henry Gross. If guys don't remember, again, the name, but you will remember the song, and the song was Shannon. Or vice versa again. So, and that's another one of my favorite tunes. So, let's get started, Johnny boy. What do you say? Let's say thank you to our sponsors, the High Bar and Bistro in Garfield, New Jersey, Precious Memory Video in Kittnersville, Pennsylvania, KWV Wine, South Africa, and Tees for the Times in Clifton, New Jersey. Thank you guys so much for joining us. Mr. Norman Fox, are you on the line, honey?
I sure am.
How are you tonight?
Hey, Norman. How are you, John? I'm good. Thank you.
Good. Well, I'm enjoying your performances on Facebook. Thank you so much.
Well, it's been great because I felt that I wanted to do something, and during this crazy period of time, it was just a nice thing to do. And I got a lot of accolades and a lot of correspondence from people who really enjoyed it, and it made my day a little bit. It made these crazy days a little more comfortable.
Yeah, it picked you up. Well, that's what I said to myself. I think I need to do something too. And I've had a couple of songs going in my head since this started, like parodies and stuff. I actually was writing a song about it, and I couldn't sing it. My voice, I just couldn't sing it, so I put it to the side. But there's so many parodies I wanted to do, and I'm like, But I could use a pick-me-up. Singing, you know, makes you feel good, you know. You know, Norman?
Absolutely.
That's what I think I need. I need a pick-me-up. Maybe I'll do that over the weekend. I need to get a song out. Well, listen, thank you so much for coming tonight. I appreciate it so much. And I can't tell you how much your music meant to me growing up. In my house, you're an East Coast guy, right?
I am. I was born in the Bronx, and then I lived in Manhattan most of my life. I moved out here to Los Angeles about 12 years ago, and I love it out here. I love coming back to New York, but I don't know whether I want to live there anymore. The weather's too good out here.
Yeah, you get used to it, right? I know. But, growing up for me in my house, I don't even know how old I was. I mean... But in my house, constantly blaring was Cousin Brucie. Oh, my God, the doo-wop Saturday night. I can't remember it, but oh, my God. And your song just always resonated with me. I never forgot it. And you guys were, like, the best doo-wop, and you were so underrated. I don't know what happened. Because, I mean, tell me why it was so great. And you guys were fantastic. Not only that, you guys were also, like, one of the first interracial bands for that time. So
yeah,
we absolutely were.
Were
you the first? You know, were you one of the first, or were you one
we,
of the...
We were actually the first. And then a couple of weeks later, the Del Vikings came out. They were also a mixed group.
Right.
But we were the first. And, you know, it was a very interesting situation because we played a lot of the record hops around New York. I don't know whether you remember Jocko Henderson. We did his record hop at the Sunnyside Gardens. And, you know, everybody thought that I was black because I sounded black. And, and they, you know, they came out and we were an interracial group. And it was a very interesting situation.
And not even were you an interracial group, but a Jewish boys and black boys. How did that happen in that era? That's crazy, but I'm fabulous. Don't get me wrong, but you know what I mean. Back then, you know, it was different. You know,
yeah,
music was different. You know, music was separated. You know.
Absolutely, it certainly was. But you know, Alan Freed was the first disc jockey who played this kind of music, and we idolized Alan Freed. And I used to listen to his radio show every night. I think he was an hour on INS radio.
Mm.
And so he basically was the guy that brought everything together. And, you know, later on, I found out that he was my neighbor. He actually lived in my apartment building.
Yeah,
it was in the Bronx, in Riverdale.
Yeah,
And I was friendly with him and his daughter. Not so much friendly with him, but with his family. And it was a very interesting time and an interesting situation, but it was the beginning of, he was the beginning of the music. He coined the term rock and roll music. Now,
right.
That's got to be unbelievable.
Now, wait, you lived in the same building as Alan Freed before Alan Freed blew up and you blew up, or was he getting...
He moved into the building when he was a superstar. I didn't realize it, but then he was my neighbor, and it was great.
Wow. How old were you when that was going on?
I would say I was about 16.
Yeah, because you started the band around 16, no? Am I wrong?
We started the band in high school at 16. We went to DeWitt Clinton High School in the Bronx. And we were trying to emulate the great groups that we heard on his show, you know, like the Moonglows and the Cadillacs and all of those guys, and Chuck Berry. And I mean, but the group harmony, the Cleftones, those were the guys that we were trying to emulate. And so we would go into the boys' bathroom where there was an echo, and we would start singing.
The quintessential doo-wop movie band group singing in the boys' room because of the acoustics. Isn't that crazy?
That's correct. Mm-hmm. And then we never cared about, we were only looking for the voices, and all the groups we were trying to emulate were black groups. So we didn't care. We picked up the voices, and I really over the years thought that the Rob Roys had really some sophisticated, very, very great harmony. They were just
great. Yeah. Fabulous.
Hey, Norman, I got a question for you. I know that harmonies are very difficult to sing, especially, you know, you have so many people singing different parts. How did you guys learn it, or did it come natural to you guys? Was it easy, or did it something you had to work at?
Well, you know, we worked at it pretty hard. There were none of us it didn't come natural to any of us in terms of the harmonies, but we seemed to be natural in the sense that we would copy the groups that we loved. I mean, we would copy the Cleftones and we would copy the Cadillacs and groups along those lines. And so when we copied them, it went into line. We used to go one step up and one step above. It was amateurish, but we finally learned how to do it. And then we interviewed for guys who could do it better than other guys that we had interviewed previously. And that's how we got grouped together.
Wow.
That's how you met all these people, because where did the other guys all come from?
Well, the two black guys came from Harlem. They lived in Harlem. And the three white guys, including myself, we came from the Riverdale section of the Bronx. So we met in high school, and we all went to the same high school. Mm-hmm. And it was great. We used to practice in Riverdale. We used to also practice in Harlem. And it was great down there. I mean, we got a great reception. We used to go to the Apollo all the time. It was just wonderful.
Nice. I wonder if you would have gotten Apollo if you guys didn't have the interracial thing going on at the time. Did they do regular doo-wop bands at the Apollo at the time?
Yeah, it was great. We actually tried out. We did amateur night in Harlem, and we actually performed on the stage at the Apollo. I don't know how good we were, but in those days, you know, if you weren't good, they gave
you
the hook.
Did you get Sandman?
Right. Did Sandman
come out?
That's right. He didn't come out for us, but we got
lucky.
There
you go. Very good. You didn't get the hook and you didn't get Sandman. Good.
Right.
That's great. So now, I wanted to ask you, now you're like around 16 around this time, right, you said?
Yeah, about 16, 17 years old. The record came out when we were 17. Yeah, in 1957.
So now you're underage. This is your band. You want to form this band. You're underage. What made you come up with the name Rob Roy's, the name of a drink? I mean, what made you come up, you know, with the name of a drink when you can't even drink, to be honest, right?
you know that we were Jewish, so we used to go to a lot of bar mitzvahs. And they used to have Rob Roy's out on the table. That was the drink of the time. And so, you know, kids like to fool around and test these drinks. So we tested the Rob Roy, and we liked the name. So that's how we got the name. We were originally the Velvetones before we became the Rob Roy.
Mm. I saw something that you guys were the Temptations at once. Were you the Temptations?
That's not correct. That's not correct.
Okay. I saw that somewhere, and I didn't know if it was true or not.
Yeah, somebody told me that, but it's not true.
Because I was going to ask you if you were the Drifters before the Drifters.
Absolutely. But anyway, we the record company did not like the name the Velvetones because there were too many tones around. He wanted us to change the name. So we came up with the name of the Rob Roy's, and they liked that, and so that's the one that stuck.
Wow. So then here you go. You got a hit song with Tell Me Why. You start doing the road shows. Who was doing the shows at the time? Alan Freed, I guess?
Yeah, it was Alan Freed and Murray the K. Jaco Henderson, and that's basically the people in our area that were doing the shows. And then we did a couple of other little things around just outside of New York. But, we couldn't work in clubs because we weren't old enough.
Right. Was that everybody was underage or just you?
Everybody was underage, yes.
And these boys were coming from Harlem underage and they were okay to come over here?
Yeah.
I'm thinking you're in Jersey because we spoke about Jersey the other night. I'm sorry. Yeah, no. You were in Bronx, so it wasn't that bad. Okay,
we were in the Bronx. We were in the Bronx.
Right. And then you wound up getting some different people kept coming in. You had a little bit of a revolving door. What was going on there with different members?
Well, what happened was that, you know, over the years, you know, guys fell out, people moved away. You know, we made some records for Backbeat in Texas. We made some records for Capitol in New York. And then I went into the Army and, you know, doo-wop, the kind of music that we were playing, which was the original rock and roll, started to go downhill when the Beatles came in and then the Elvis situation. So we started drifting away, and it wasn't until the revival period, about 10 years later, when Gus Gossett put on the first revival show at Hunter College Auditorium, that this music started to come back for the people who enjoyed it all along. Mm. So went into different things, and other people left the group. We had to get new people in. So that's
nice.
Why there's a revolving door. We have a lot of people over the years that were Rob Roy's.
Right, right. And you had, oh, God, what's his name? Les Levine from the Del Vikings. He went on to the Del Vikings, right? And
right.
He loved the Del Vikings.
Yes, that's correct. We had everything. I think we had a lot of people. I mean, over the years, a lot of people sang with the Rock Roy's.
Sadly and unfortunately, this music somewhat dies for that era. What do you guys do then? You retire, you come back, or what do you guys do from there? I know you're performing now, but what happened after, you know,
when
rock and roll came in?
Yeah, everybody went into different things. One of the guys, Bob Trotman, he became a motorman for the New York Transit Authority. Bob Thera became an accountant. I went into the clothing business.
Mm.
And Buzzy Helfand opened up a marina in Long Island, in Montauk.
Mm.
And everybody went into something different.
Right. But then you guys got back together again. You put something together. You put a band together, a group.
Well, we always found a way to put together a group, and we always found a way to perform when there were shows around and people wanted us to perform in them. So that's
right.
What we've done over the years, and it's actually more fun now than it ever was before, as far as I'm concerned.
Right. So now you put a group together now, and you're singing now, right? I mean, you're out there performing now.
Correct. Correct.
Right.
Absolutely.
Well, before the world stopped, what did you have coming up?
Well, we had shows in Las Vegas. We had shows in New York. We just got off a cruise. Maybe 10 days before the all these cruises shut down because of the virus. We went to Mexico, and so we performed on that cruise. And, we had a number of things planned that are not going to come through, and I don't know what's going to be going forward with the seating that's going to be changed to accommodate the social distancing. People are going to have to be sitting 2 and 3 seats apart in the theater.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether it's going to be cost effective for these promoters to be able to put together.
Less ticket sales because you can't fill all the seats.
Correct. Correct.
There's a lot of things that are going to go into play with entertainment events, sports.
Yeah,
all that. Crazy.
You know, I have confidence that, you know, some way, somehow, we will work it out. You know, human beings are pretty smart people, and they find a way to accommodate the things that they want to do. And so I think that there'll be a lot of changes, a lot of new things, and to me, it's exciting. I've always been an adventurer, so I don't know where it's going, but I'm interested to find out where.
Good for you. That's good. Well, hey, you wouldn't be where you are and where you started if you didn't have that attitude, right?
That's correct. And
right.
I'm still going forward. You know, I'm an old guy, but I still have new things. And this thing, this situation that we're in with the coronavirus has given me a lot of time at home. I'm starting to write new music.
Good.
And it's very exciting. Very exciting for me.
Right, right. I know. I'm disappointed. I thought with this time I could be a little more creative myself, but I'm working from home and it's not good. I'm working harder. I was telling John, I'm working harder from home than I did at the office. It's killing me.
Right. But listen, you're creative with your radio show, and that's a great way to be creative.
Yes, it's a lot of fun. We have a lot of fun, you know. But any new music coming from you, Norman? You guys working on anything?
Yeah, I'm writing, so I'm going to put together some new songs, maybe three or four, and then we'll start rehearsing them, and then we'll put them out there, and we'll let you be the first to see if they're any good.
Oh, no, send them over. We'll have you on. We'll release it here for you. Sure, we'll play it for you on the air.
Absolutely. And then
I wrote
a song. I have to tell you something which I think you'll enjoy. Mm. My new wife, I'm a widower, and I got married about 3 years ago out here in California. And so my new wife asked me to write her a love song.
Okay.
And so I was racking my brain, and I wrote her a love song, and I think it's terrific, except that it's a done me wrong song, and she's not too happy with it.
Oh, that's not nice, Norman.
but you guys will like it. I'll send it to you, and I think you'll like it. It's fun.
Yeah, you have my email address, right?
I do.
Good. Well, if anybody ever wants to email us, they can get us at magicalmusicent@aol.com. And we'd be happy to answer your emails. And so how can folks get in touch with you? I know you'd love to have more people listen to your Facebook appearances. I'm loving them.
Great. I'm glad you do. I have a website, and they can go to normanfoxandtheroberoys.com, and they can go on the website and write to me, and I'll write them back. And let's see what everybody's got on their mind. It'd be a lot of fun.
Nice. You know what's funny? I was listening. I haven't heard Tell Me Why in quite a long time. And when I heard it, it brought me back. And I listened to it a couple times because I love it so much. Did you ever think of taking that song to a studio, Norman, and telling them to remix it and put some nice drums behind that and make that a little upbeat a little bit? You might get a resurgence with that, I think. I'm feeling it. That's the only reason I'm saying it.
If you're feeling it, I'll certainly give it a shot.
I think you should. I mean, I think it would really it would be a little more current, you know. And who knows? More new people may like it, you know, if you play it that way.
Absolutely. I'll try.
You know, I hear it. I don't know if you hear it, but I hear it.
Okay. Well, you got good ears. We'll try it.
I hear it. So, when's your next song on Facebook? And people can always friend you on Facebook, right?
They can. Yeah, we have a lot of friends, and they can face me. I'm going to put out a song between tomorrow and Thursday, maybe one or two songs on Facebook. And so we'll keep it rolling.
Nice. Well, I want to say thank you to my long-lost cousin, Eileen Mayo, for hooking us up, because it's been an absolute pleasure speaking with you.
Me too, and I want to thank Eileen as well. She's a terrific lady.
Yeah, she's my long-lost cousin, you know. We didn't know. We didn't know. We still don't know. We met on Facebook, and we think we're cousins. She's checking it out. So she could be. She knows a lot of people that I know over here, so I don't know. Could be. So, but anyway, sir, Johnny Boy, anything for Norman?
No, I just want to tell Norman how much I enjoy his music and I want to hear some new stuff.
Yeah, send it over,
great.
Right?
We'll send it over to you.
Thank you so much for coming on, and you brought back a lot of memories for me tonight, and I appreciate it. And I'm looking forward to more songs on Facebook. Check it out, folks. Norman Fox on Facebook. Friend him. He will love to be your friend because he's such a sweetheart. And, Norman, keep in touch. You let us know about this song you want to send over about your wife being so mean to you.
Okay.
No wonder she's mad at you.
Thank you, guys. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you, Norman.
Thank you so much, Norman.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Bye-bye now.
Now, have you seen his performances on Facebook?
No, I just friended him now, so hopefully he'll friend me back, and then I'll check it out tomorrow.
Yeah, and he sings everybody's songs, not just his. You know, he did Kenny Rogers the other day. He did a tribute for Bobby Darin because it was his birthday.
I did see that one. I did see that, yes.
Yeah,
that's
so great. It sounds really good. But, yeah, no, it's funny, that song, it just reminded me so much of being my mother at the kitchen sink with CBS playing, and my brother at the table, and me in the living room listening and dancing and nobody knowing it, you know? So and I loved it. It was just, I just can't explain it. And Shannon, you know the song Shannon, John, right?
Oh, yes, of course, yep.
Yeah,
like I don't think anyone doesn't know that one. It was just like one of the most popular ones in the 70s.
I always put my dog's names in the place of Shannon, like my puppy that I do. And every time I would sing it that way, it would make me cry. So,
it's a sad song.
It is. It's a lot behind it, too, which is crazy. So what's going on, Johnny Boy? What do we got going on for the weekend?
Not that much. Maybe I'll sew some masks together, you know. I'm trying to develop some kind of sonar device that we can put on our heads that we can measure the distance between the people so we don't overstep our boundaries. Yeah, maybe put that for sale.
I was thinking so you put it around your head like a band, and then it's got wires, very thin wire spreading out, and you hook it around a hula hoop.
Well, the hula hoop was my next thought. I was saying we should just, you know, make them just a little bit bigger, you know, and have everyone, you know, get a free hula hoop when they go to the store. That's where they could walk down the special aisle. I went to BJ's the other day, and I got so paranoid I was walking down the wrong aisle, you know, with the following the arrows. And there was one aisle where the arrow kind of just stopped. It was like, oh, Christ, which way do I go? You know, so it's just weird having the arrows and, you know, people, you know, plexiglass barriers between everybody. And God forbid you walk down someone, they stop immediately and they they wait for you to pass by or they run out of your way to keep that distance. So it's pretty funny.
I know. Do you hear the one I used to cough to hide a fart. Now I fart to hide a cough. Is that it? Did I say it right?
I haven't heard that one. That's interesting. I haven't heard that one.
I don't know if I said it right.
Yeah.
But anyway. Yeah, no, I was just thinking about the same. When this all started, I had like 50 million parodies in my head. And I actually did write a song for it, and I couldn't sing it. My voice wouldn't give it to me, so I was very depressed by it. I got a little depressed, you know. You know what I mean, John. I lost my voice, and it sucks so bad. I hate it.
Well, after unpacking all my CDs, I told you I found my whole collection of Joanne Barton CDs. And I've been listening to them, and I really enjoy them. I really like it. I mean, the music is absolutely fantastic. It's just really, really good.
I did work with some great guys. I really did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the harmonies were good.
Yeah. Well, that's me in the harmonies, too, you know.
Yeah, well, I could hear it. You could hear the same voice, and it sounds really nice. It's just really, really nice.
But the band you had was fantastic.
I thought the band was really hot. You know, really good musicians.
Yeah. Don't mind me. I'm a little down today, I guess, because of that reason, because I've been wanting to sing for the last, like, 2 weeks, and I can't, so... But anyway, so we're waiting for Mr. Henry Gross and John. You know what I'd like to do if we could? Can we play, not right now, a little bit of Shannon up till the chorus, the first chorus is over?
We can get to the first chorus and then we can stop it because we can't really control where we start or stop it. You know, it's just going to play.
Right. That's what I mean. Can we stop it? That's what I meant. Can we play it, stop it after the chorus?
Yeah, we could do that.
Yeah.
But there was one song, Joanne, that you do, the Clara Bow song. I love the way you go, "It's time to go, Clara Bow." "Time to go, Clara Bow."
Listen, I was given the title and I wrote the song. I wasn't happy about it, okay? I definitely would have never written anything like that.
Who played the keyboards in that? Because that was really great.
That was Rich Betancourt. He was a phenomenal musician. Whatever album you're talking about, I don't know which one the name is, but he played every single instrument on that album. He was just so amazing. And the poor thing.
What about the song Plymouth? Who played everything? Did he play everything on that song?
He absolutely did. So it's that album. Okay.
Wow.
Which album is that? Which album is that with Plymouth on it?
I forgot, Joanne.
I'm thinking to myself. Sorry. I'm thinking about Lysol disinfecting. Sorry. Hold on. I'm thinking out loud. Hold on. I'm being sarcastic.
You're not drinking it, are you?
No, not today. No, I'm good. I got my water. You know, I live on that. But, Rich played everything on that whole album. And the poor thing, he passed away. He was coming home from a Yankees game, and him and his wife got instantly killed by a tractor trailer. I was devastated to know that I didn't know upset me so much. You have no idea. Very talented guy. We worked so great together, too. Oh, my God.
Yeah, he was fantastic.
I'd come in. I'd give him a melody, sing the lyrics, give him a beat to the, drum track, and damn, he was on it,
You know what song I'm really, really liking a lot? I'm really enjoying A Merry-Go-Round, how it starts off slow, and then it has that real, tempo change in there. It's upbeat and then it goes back.
I actually enjoyed singing and writing that one. I really did.
That's a good song.
And I didn't like the change so much, the sound of the change, but I liked the change. You know what I mean?
I mean, it grows on you after a while, and then you appreciate it because the bass guitar in there is really fantastic. Rich playing the bass?
Yeah, that's fantastic. Yeah, he's playing everything. Mr. Gross, where are you, sir? Ay, ay, ay. Let me give Mr. Gross a call. Do I have his number? I don't know. Yeah, but...
In the meantime, why don't you tell us who's coming on Sunday?
Well, I can't because...
You can't?
It's a surprise. Well, it's not a surprise. We're going to be like totally. I like that we have fabulous variety. This is going a little bit out of our realm, which is cool, and I want to do more of it. Kareem Batiste. He's known as Reem, and he's. I don't have all the information in front of me, Johnny boy, but it's going to be an interesting. But we do have some other great guests coming up, but I can't read them and call Henry at the same time. So, all right, let me tell you Henry's number.
I'm also, I want to tell everybody that I've been getting a lot of calls and emails about my psychic ability. So I will be doing special readings for people if they're interested for free, you know, to give them some hope and, you know, during this horrible time. So if they're interested, just email the show and I can get back to you and give you a special psychic reading, because I went over such a big hit the other day with my readings. Right, Joanne? I couldn't wait for our friend to call up Artie. I was going, Artie, where are you, Artie?
Johnny boy,
did we lose Joanne?
No.
I hear you now.
I was calling Henry, honey. I'm sorry. I told you I was calling Henry.
Oh
I'm
that's
sorry.
Cool. Did you reach,
Henry? Yeah, of course. Well,
cool.
John and I, John, I guess I'm tired of hearing me. So I want to say that we have on the phone Mr. Henry Gross. He is
Henry.
A songwriter. Yeah.
Hi.
And I didn't know you were an actor as well, so that is cool. But
I'm pretending. I'm such a good actor. I'm gonna pretend that I'm not a chowderhead for being late.
We have to watch out, John. He's from Brooklyn, I think. Right, Brooklyn it is. Yeah.
Uh oh.
You see, she's got a problem with that. You know what I mean? I don't know what she's doing, but she's got a problem.
Well, I'm from Brooklyn too.
Well,
I'm
the
from
both
Borough
of
Park, Brooklyn.
Two ball busters. The both of you. Henry has been such a ball buster.
But
I love it. He's hysterical.
It's a responsibility, you know, carrying the angst for the American public.
Oh,
but
God.
But I wear it. I wear it like a glove.
Good for you. How are you tonight, honey?
I'm better than no friend at all.
I told you he's a ball buster. I'm telling you, he's something. I'm telling you. But so everything's good, Henry. You good, honey?
Everything is good. I had a very funny conversation last night. Peter Noon, you know, that does from Hermits.
Yeah.
I do this show with him once a year, and we have a great time. And I sent him my new CD.
Mm.
And so he does this thing where he talks to he gets notes from his fans on Facebook every day. And so I wrote to him, and he was very funny. He even took the Mickey out of me, which was very funny. And I put it up on my Facebook page, so it was fun.
So what's the story? You're gonna.
Well, it wasn't a great story.
You said it was a funny. I had some funny story to tell you, and then it's on Facebook.
You want funny stories? I'll tell you funny stories. Don't worry about that. You know, I went to my doctor. My doctor told me, he says, Henry, my doctor says, I'm telling Henry, you got to stop playing with yourself. I said, why? He said, because I'm trying to examine you. Here, you want stories? I'm telling you, it's tough out there. No, I mean, I'm all right now, but yesterday I was in rough shape. So what are we doing here? When are we doing this? Are we on?
Yes, of course we're on. I'm listening to your story.
Well, you don't tell me. I never told those ribald stories like that.
Oh, stop. No. I was looking forward to them. I'm sure everybody was looking forward to them. So, Henry.
If I tell a few more, you'll have no listeners but us. All right.
Oh, well, that's not true. That's not true. Henry, I did not know that you were one of the founders of Sha Na Na. That is so cool. I had no idea. Did you do that first before anything, or what did you
do? No, I was playing music since I was, I started when I was 13.
Oh, wow.
Playing some, you know, crazy places in Brooklyn that John might remember. Did you remember the Albemarle Towers had a dance hall upstairs, and there was the Paris, and there were all these clubs, you know, they were rough clubs, but they were great fun places all over Brooklyn that I played, and I was with a band, and we played the New Jersey Pavilion at the World's Fair when I was 13.
Wow.
And played there a bunch of days, yeah, and we had a little four guys, and we were pretty good for little kid. And then I played over the summers in the Catskill Mountains while I was doing school and all that.
Mm.
I'd play hotels up in the Catskills, you know, and bungalow colonies and such things.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was in a band with, you know, always in bands in high school. And one of the guys that I was in a band with for years went to Columbia University. I was at Brooklyn College.
Mm-hmm.
And he was in that glee club called the Columbia Kingsmen.
Mm.
And they did one of their little mini concerts, and they did They did an oldie. They did the Diamonds version of Little Darling, the later version, not the original by the Gladiolas.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so they would, and apparently I wasn't there, but you know, three of the guys that I was in this band with, that were in a group, and we were playing all these clubs in Greenwich Village. You know, just if you name the Gaslight to this one, you know, Folk City. We were playing all these, and the name of the group was Orogeny.
Oh, wow.
And these were very educated guys. Orogeny, as it turns out, is the forming of a crust on the earth following an earthquake.
Oh,
definitely not the name that emerged from my experience at Brooklyn College.
Mm.
So we were doing this, and they did this oldie, and the reaction was tremendous. Actually, two of the three guys in the group were in the Kingsman Civil Law Library at Columbia. And they thought, like, this show, you know, the show had a couple hundred people. They thought maybe, you know, 400 or 500 people would show up. It was a beautiful night. And about 5,000-6,000 people showed up. The whole place was like a little Woodstock.
Mm.
And when the band took the stage, the people went ballistic.
Wow.
And so I was in the audience, and I saw it. And the next day they said, hey, man, you know, you want to play in the band? And I said, yep. And we put it, and then the brother of one of the guys, a guy called George Leonard, really saw the show, the first one where they did the one oldie, and had this brainstorm to put it together. It was really the idea, not the name, but the idea of a guy called George Leonard.
Wow.
And the guy who managed us was from Columbia. His name was Ed Goodgold. And while Ed was at Columbia, he and a classmate of his called Dan Karlinski started the trivia crazes and wrote all those books, trivia, and more trivia, you know, which was a big deal at that time in the 60s.
Wow.
The questions of trivia were like, where did Ralph Cramden drive his bus? You know, questions like that. Of course, the answer is Madison Avenue. But, you know, these were the type of questions that were in trivia.
Right. Well, Sean,
that and Flash Gordon and stuff.
Sean,
so anyway, so the group
was great. Yeah, they were great.
Well,
I mean, they
were
on point. I know they were on point. I mean, I'm sure they
once
still are.
Year,
you know.
Yeah, once a year I do a show this year I think I did two or three of them with Bowser's Rock and Roll Show, and he has Johnny Cantardo in the band. Johnny was one of the guys in Shawnee, a later member of Shawnee, who was on the TV show that, you know, he just sings great, Johnny. He always did, and he still does. And he's a great guy. And Bowser's a fantastic musician. I mean, people don't realize he's a trained Juilliard classical musician.
Right.
So, you know, when he plays Runaway, he gets all the notes right.
Mm-hmm.
He's fantastic. So we have a good show every year, and Peter Noon's usually on the show.
Cool.
And he made a comment last night about, he said the drummer from Bill Haley and the Comets, the original band, he made a joke that he walked me on stage. It was kind of an inside joke. The guy was, he was referring to Dick Richards, who passed away. I think he was about 95 years old. He actually played the show when he was like 94 or something. He was incredible. He really played great.
Wow.
A little loose, but amazing for a guy his age. And he was a very wonderful guy. So anyway, that's who he's referring to. But anyhow, back to the real world.
I loved Shawnee. They were great, and the show was cool too. Were you on the show, the variety show?
Right,
you left already? You had already left?
Yeah, I left right away in the beginning. I was at Woodstock. I was watching Jimi Hendrix, who I knew pretty well.
I was going to ask you if you played at Woodstock because you did the 50th anniversary. Were you at the original?
No, the 50th anniversary I had nothing to do with. I don't know anything about that.
It
didn't happen. The show didn't happen.
I know. It says you were celebrating the 50th anniversary. Oh, right. It didn't.
There were a lot of shows. I did a couple of hippie fest shows, and I did, you know, people booked me because, you know, Santana gets $1 million and I get 10 bucks. So I was booked every day, you know.
But I know, were you at the original Woodstock is what I'm asking?
Yeah, I was the youngest person to play there.
Wow. I didn't know that. That's why I wanted to ask you because it's the 50th anniversary.
Yeah.
Wow. How was the crowd? How was the crowd when you were there?
The crowd was subdued.
No, I'm just saying, were they receptive to you there, or were they pretty wasted, you know?
Whoever was left was completely stunned by it. I mean, it was like it hit them like a freight train. They weren't expecting
Right.
You know, that was the thing. At that point, when I liked Shawnee, for me, was when it was shocking everyone. Once people started to come dressed, the girls with the poodle skirts and the guys greased up like the band, I thought, I mean, basically, I could describe it. It was like being in the Rocky Horror Show.
And
which is great. It was a great show. But yeah. I watched Jimi Hendrix at Woodstock, and he was playing, and I thought to myself, this guy is playing music only he can make, and I want to make music only I can make. And your life is now or never. When you stay with something that you're really not feeling your potential in, you will never realize it.
How did you and Carl Wilson come together?
Well, when I left Shauna, first I went looking for a record deal, but the first thing I needed was songs, so I spent the next year playing every dingy dive I could find and trying to write songs. And when I got a bunch of them together, I went and played. I met a lawyer, actually, a guy, he's no longer with us. His name is Robert Wax.
Uh-huh.
And someone introduced me to him. And he eventually went on not only to help me with my career, but he discovered Eddie Murphy and got him on Saturday Night Live and managed him through first 10 movies. He discovered Arsenio Hall, Eddie Griffin, Gordy Brown, the impressionist in Vegas. I mean, this guy's phenomenal. Bob was a genius. Anyway, he managed Eddie later on after I had my success. But anyway, he got me a record deal, brought me to a guy that was in the artist and repertoire department at ABC Records, Dunhill, a New York representative. And I remember I played for him, and he's a great guy. He's still a friend of mine today. And he said to me, "You got a couple of really good songs here, could be hits, but I'm going to sign you because you got the greatest jokes." So once again, the jokes came through for me. So I was killing
it. It's that Brooklyn thing.
Yeah, and he was from Long Island. He had never heard the type of comedy I was rolling at him.
Uh-huh.
And so he signed me, and I made a pretty good album with some amazing musicians. The late from the LA Express, Jim Keltner played the drums.
Wow.
The great Jesse Ed Davis was going to be on a session, but something happened that it didn't work out at the last minute. And I had Paul Harris on piano, who played on Against the Wind for Bob Seger. We had a bunch of great musicians, and it was pretty quick. I mean, the record we did one or two takes, and that was that. And so the record came out, and as I say, it went lead. It didn't go gold.
It went lead. It went lead.
In fact, I believe that possession of that record is a felony in some states. But then I looked for another record deal, and I found Cashman and West, who were producing Jim Croce, and they liked what I did. So I signed with them, and they got me signed to A&M Records. And I did the first album for A&M was this, we called it the Yellow Album. It just said Henry Gross. And there was a pretty big regional hit around the country in about 10 different cities. It went in the top five. And the song was called Simone. Very successful song. And I was really, really proud of it. And there was another one called Come On, Say It. That was Pete Fornatel played it to death WNEW.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a dear friend. And, Dennis Elsis would play it, and Dave Hyman, and sometimes Scott Muni. And so I had a good run with that record. And then I made an album called Plug Me Into Something that sold, 400-some-odd thousand records. It was pretty popular. And people still write to me all the time about it and order copies of it. I have a few copies left. I got some CDs. I don't own these records, so I was lucky to get Universal and Cashman and West and let me get a few copies.
What was it like? I'm sorry, I'm going to jump in. What was it like working with Jim Croce?
Well, I didn't work with Jim Croce.
I thought you played on a couple of his songs.
I played on some of his songs, but he wasn't there. He was on the road.
Oh, okay.
So I overdubbed him on a few tracks. I think working at the Car Wash Blues, maybe 5 Short Minutes, 11. I love Jim Croce. In fact, his son AJ is one of my closest friends.
Oh, wow. You didn't get to meet him, though, personally?
I met him one time, very briefly, at a club called Paul's Mall in Boston.
Oh, wow.
And I met him very briefly, but I wouldn't say I knew him. I would say
like
we were introduced, and we were kind of introduced, talked for a minute, and gone, you know.
Yeah, he seemed like a very relaxed guy, you know, very laid back.
I wouldn't know. I just know that I knew Maury Muehlhausen a little better because I was up in Cashman and West's office one day, and Maury, Jim's guitar player, who was the genius playing on Operator and all that stuff, Maury was up there, and we just kind of hung out together and played guitar for about 2-3 hours. So
wow.
Maury I knew better.
Wow.
And I'm still in touch with his sister, Mary. I mean, it was a tragedy. I mean, it was like the Buddy Holly thing all over.
Right.
You know?
I know. And it's such talent cut short so quickly. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I don't know why. I never get on planes where the pilot has his elbow out the window, you know. I try and stay out of that. You know? I try and make light of it only because I love, you know, it's so sad that, you know, how much sad can you take?
I know.
You freak out, you know. So you're just like, what's going on now? I mean, what are you going to do, you know?
Right, I
know.
I
lost my friend John Prine, you know. John was a friend, a good friend of mine. It's just endless.
Yeah.
You know, we won't go into politics.
I know. Well, let me ask you now. Okay, we're up to Shannon now. You and Carl Wilson, how do you guys come up with Shannon? Is the story
Carl didn't come up with his
dog, or?
Yeah, well, Carl didn't, you know, I wrote it. What happened was when Plug Me Into Something was out, I did actually Carl sang on the opening cut of Plug Me Into Something. So when the Yellow album was out, the first of the A&M albums, I started touring with the Beach Boys and did quite a few shows with them. And Carl and I became pretty good friends. And I was in L.A. to do something, some midnight special or something. He invited me to his house.
Uh-huh.
And we were hanging. He had this beautiful spread for lunch, like a nice bunch of, and he had these two big husky dogs, and they jumped up and knocked over the table and ate everything. And Carl was, he was so nice, he couldn't stop apologizing. I said, don't worry about it, man. I got a crazy Irish setter at home called Shannon.
Mm.
And when I said that, he stopped in his tracks and he said he had a dog named Shannon he loved very much that was hit by a car and killed only a few weeks before.
Oh, wow.
So when I got home, that story stuck with me, and I sat sitting on the bed with my Shannon and wrote this thing relatively quickly, and I thought it was great. I sent it out to Carl hoping the Beach Boys would cut it because Brian Wilson had been sort of absent at that point, and I thought if ever there was a time the Beach Boys might take an outside song, this was the song, and that was the moment. But Brian turned from his slumber to do this album called 15 Big Ones, which was a really nice record in its way. It was kind of charming. And so I never heard anything from Carl about the song, so I recorded it, and it blew up around the world.
Yeah, definitely. I know every time when I used to hear it, it always made me cry. And I don't know if you saw my post, but I mentioned earlier in the show, too. Sorry if you guys have to hear this again. But I always put the name of my pet in the place of Shannon for my lost pet.
Yeah, I read that. I did,
and it always makes me cry when I sing it, and I put my dog's name there, you know. So, would you mind? Go ahead, honey. I'm sorry. I was going to ask if you mind.
There's a track on the new CD because me being the dog man that is right now in a little park around the corner from my house with my wife sitting there with three dogs and a cat in a push cart, you know, in a little pram. We when we walk, we're guilt ridden. So we can't leave them alone. We take them with us.
Oh.
And we have a bunch of old dogs. So I wrote a song about rescuing an old dog called The Get Up To Go. And it's on the new CD. And if anybody wants to hear it, you know, when I make my records, you know, I sell CDs at my website, but which is great if people want to help me that way. But if a lot of people are out of work, and it's very hard for a lot of people, but I want everybody to enjoy the music. So I just put it up wherever it's free anyway. It doesn't matter. Some people buy it. It's like they're buying me a drink, you know, $15 for the CD. There's 17 songs. I'm not getting rich, and most people won't be getting poor. But, if every little bit helps because I've lost all my share.
Right. I know.
The fact is all the songs are available online.
Right.
So they're on YouTube, they're on Spotify, and wherever else people put their music up for free consumption. And they're also available at iTunes and CD Baby if you want to buy the downloads, which is the way to go. And it's $10 for 17 songs. So I'm just, there's my little pitch.
We're gonna pitch you before you go anyway. So do you mind if we play a little bit of Shannon so I could hear it?
Do I mind?
Yeah.
I'm delighted.
Thank you. And then after that, we're going to play from your new CD the song So. And I can't wait to play that too. John, you want to play a little bit of Shannon? I love this song.
Another day that ends. Mama says she's tired again. No one can even begin to tell her. I hardly know what to say, but maybe it's better that way. If Papa were here, I'm sure he'd tell her.
I'm crying. Can you believe I'm crying? And I got chills. And it gives me chills when I hear that song.
Well, I'm delighted that it's, you know, it's an emotional song. It was written from a very heartfelt place.
Definitely.
So, you know.
You can hear it in your voice, how heartfelt it is.
Thank you. You know, I don't know if anybody, you know, there's no way radio would ever play something like that anymore, you know. It's all about selling cars now, you know.
Right.
Positive up-tempo, please.
Right. Okay, well, thank you for that. I needed that, but I didn't because it made me sad. So, what's the name of the new CD, Henry?
Too Clever for My Own Good.
Oh, that sounds perfect for you.
Yeah. I may have heard it said a few times.
I would think so, but anyway... Let's hear it. Guys, the new song, So, getting a lot of airplay right now all over the country, right?
It's getting played wherever I can slip it in. You know, the big controlled stations that are owned by the same four guys, it's impossible for anyone independent to navigate. But smaller stations, I'm getting quite a bit of play. Yeah, whoever I get connected to through this one or that one says, hey, call this guy, and I do, and I email them and they love it and then they play it a little and, you know, it's just I'm trying to get the word out there.
Well, it's an honor to play it, ladies and gentlemen. Henry Gross with his new song, So. Dreams are shattered.
you'll be here tomorrow. Maybe I will too. When the sun comes through the shadows, as it will do, I'll be there for you. When the rainbows follow, you know, 'cause I told you so, 'cause I told you I need to hold you tight, 'cause I told you I will love you day and night, and forever I will never let you go, as God is my witness.
Hum it. You can remember it, and you can hum along with it.
Yes.
It's yeah. not like the crap that's coming out today. This is what music used to be like. So thank you, Henry.
You know what I love about it, Henry? You know what I love about it? It's kind of apropos for right now. And
yeah,
also, I love the hook of so this, so that, so this, so that, and then the hook of because I told you so. That is so cool.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I love that.
Yeah.
That
Who's
so cool.
playing
Very
the
nice.
Guitar in that, Henry? Are you playing the guitar?
I'm playing some, and the guy that I work with, who's an absolute genius, John McLean,
nice.
Is playing some guitar, too. And he's playing some, I usually play the slide, but John played it on this one at the end. He's a brilliant guy. And so
nice.
I'm happy.
It's really great.
I wrote
great.
That song with Roger Cook. Roger wrote songs like "Long Cool Woman,"
yeah,
"I'd Like to Teach the World to Sing," "You've
right.
Got Your Troubles, I've Got Mine," "Here Comes That Rainy Day Feeling Again."
Yeah.
Roger's one of the great songwriters of our time, and I've been writing with him for 35, 40 years. So
Wow. We've
written a bunch of songs, but we really like this one because unluckily, it's speaking to the time right now.
That's what I said.
We just thought it was a song about, you give your word. Because I told you so. I mean, the value of a person's word is,
right.
Right. That's what the song is really about. It's,
right.
Because I told you so.
Right. So I told you this. I told you this. I told you that. And so I told you this.
Yeah.
And guess what? At the end, because so I told you so. Right. I love it. I love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. Fabulous. I like it. Tell everybody again the name of the album, where they could get it. And I know you just went through that, but tell them again because we're heading off.
The album's called Too Clever for My Own Good, and it's available at henrygross.com. The CDs are available there, or at CD Baby.
Mm-hmm.
You can download it, or at iTunes or Amazon or Apple Music. Wherever they download music, you can buy a copy, a download in order, and, easy to do. And if you are really, you're having a rough time and you want to hear some music that sounds like what you grew up on or what you wish you grew up on, I think this record will do you good. And you can have it. It's on YouTube. Just like I say, go to my Facebook page or somewhere where the album is displayed with CD Baby. Get the names of the songs and just look them up. Put Henry Gross in the name of the song on YouTube and they'll come
right up.
You can listen to them there. And I just want people to hear it and enjoy it.
Right.
Because, time is now. And
right. Yeah, it's so appropriate for what's going on right now. I felt it immediately.
Yeah, well,
you know,
like I say, we didn't have any idea because the thing was finished by January. So, you know, beginning of January, it was done. Or actually, by the middle of December, it was finished. And we had no idea that such an awful future would be upon us. But,
it's a great song. Thank you for sharing it with us. And thank you so much for being here tonight. I appreciate it.
My pleasure.
You're a crazy guy. I love it.
You got to be, you know, I save the serious stuff for my songs sometimes. You know, I try and, there's such craziness in the world. And I try and, you know, the jokes, I always think if you're laughing, you're basically telling the Grim Reaper to take a hike.
Mm.
You know, it's a healthy thing. You got to, every belly laugh you get is a vote for life.
Well,
so I try and find just laugh and find have a lot of fun, and then put the emotional part into the music, whether it's a funny song or a serious song. So
right. Well, if you don't laugh, you'll cry. So I'd rather laugh too.
That's it. You know, as Dylan said, he who ain't busy being born is busy dying.
Yeah, there you go too, right? I know. Well, Henry, thank you so much. It's a pleasure. You're one of my childhood idols that I listened to growing up, and it's a pleasure. I can't even tell you what an honor it is to have you on. Both you
well,
and
Joanne,
Norman
call
Fox.
Me anytime.
Yes.
You know, as the song goes from the Beatles' early song, you know my name. Look up the number.
You got it.
You got me.
Well,
and
ladies and gentlemen, you got it. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Henry Gross, pick up the new album. Oh, my God, you got to check it out. And this song is fabulous.
Thank you, Henry.
I can't imagine what the rest of them sound like. They're probably fantastic, too.
Well, you're going to love it.
I love that song. Love it.
All right.
Oh, thank you, Henry. Take care, honey. We'll talk, okay?
Okay, you got it.
All right, all the best. Good luck. Bye-bye.
Bye, Henry.
I really loved that. It had a nice catch to it, you know, nice hook. And like you said, it's sticking in your head, you know. And
it's a song that, you know, like it used to be, where you can remember it and you can hum it. It's not like the crap that you hear today, where every song sounds exactly the same and there's nothing to it. You know, within a day, the song is out of your head, and you know you're on to the next one. But this song, you know, something you remember, you want to hear again because it's different.
Right.
You know,
right.
The
and
way
you know
music
what, you
was.
Know, you know what I love about when we play the songs for these guys is that I don't listen to them until the night of the show because I want to be as excited about it as you are. You know, when you hear it for the first time, I want to experience it just like everybody else. You know what I mean? Because he kept saying, "Did you listen? Did you listen?" I said, "No, not yet, not yet." I like to hear it the night of the show because then I want to be as excited as everybody else when you hear it for the first time. So, but no, I loved it. I think it was great. So,
that's a great song.
Yeah, I guess we can bid adieu, Johnny boy.
Yeah, until Sunday, and we don't know who's on Sunday, right?
No, I do and I don't.
Oh, okay.
I got to talk to them and get more information. But it's going to be very interesting. I can guarantee you that.
A surprise guest.
Yes, well, not really. I'll let you know before. You know that. I'll let everybody know on Facebook, too. Norman Fox and Henry Gross, thank you guys so much for joining us tonight. It was a pleasure. Two great artists that I've listened to growing up, and I can't tell you what a joy it is for me to do this and be able to touch base with these people. It's fabulous. So thank you to them. Thank you, John. Thank you to our sponsors, the Hive Bar and Bistro in Garfield, New Jersey, Precious Memory Video in Kitnersville, Pennsylvania, KWV Wines in South Africa, and Tees for the Times from Clifton, New Jersey. We will see you all Sunday, Johnny boy?
Yep, at 7 o'clock Sunday, Eastern Standard Time, for all our friends over in Italy, New Zealand, and all around the world.
Where are they? Where are we again?
Well, I'm just telling the Eastern Standard Time because people get confused in other countries. Listen to us, you know, so.
I know, but
you know,
what's
Eastern
the other
Standard
countries?
Time.
Didn't you say, what countries are we in?
New Zealand, Italy, Canada, Spain, a whole bunch of different ones. I forgot all the ones, but there's a lot.
Well,
Germany.
a special hello to our friends out of the United States. Thank you so much for listening, and thank you to all our folks here in the United States. We love you all. Thank you. Everybody, please stay safe, stay healthy, and let's get back to normal soon. And stay home, stay safe, stay alive, right? I don't know. What do you think,
That's
John?
Right. Wear your mask and keep away from everybody.
That's right. I know. I kind of like it. I'm hiding behind a mask. Nobody knows it's I can do whatever I want. I don't know. I haven't done my hair or anything. I put this mask on. Nobody knows it's me. I don't do my hair. I'm barely getting dressed. I'm jeans and maybe a sweatshirt, you know. And I'm loving the fact no makeup, nothing. I'm kind of digging it. So
it's killing the dating people dating, but it's good for everybody else, I guess.
Oh, I heard a line, a pickup line. If Corona doesn't take you out, can I?
You got to get that symbol on the drum.
I know. Did you catch Scott Wood's Facebook Live? I missed it.
No, I haven't. But I think you can replay it. I think you could watch it again.
Oh, I hope I can. Yeah, because I got to catch him. He's so funny. What a nice guy. I can't wait for him to come back.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? Real quick before we go, I can tell you about some other guests we have coming up. We have Don Most from Happy Days, Ralph Mouth.
Wow.
Robert Wool from Arliss. He's done so many other things as well. Greg Kinn. You remember Greg Kinn?
My favorite.
Kinn. I know you remember.
The breakup song.
Joe Alves. I believe was the creator of the Shark and Jaws, and it's their anniversary. We're going to have one cool night, a whole night. It's for a relationship expert. His name is Rick. I don't have his name in front of me. John Ford Coley's coming up. Butch Patrick, Eddie Munster is coming up. And Stan Livingston, Ernie from My Three Sons. Ed Rambo.
Chip from My Three Sons.
Oh, Chip, yes, he's his older brother. I'm so sorry. Reading. Ed Rambo, one of the greatest songwriters of the 60s, and you'll get to know him. He's a buddy from that crew. Ron Dante from, I'm losing my mind. You'll know who he is. You'll know his songs, I guarantee it. I mean, he's written just about every song out there in the 60s. So, we've got a great month, and I can't wait. And Sunday is going to be fantastic. I just got to get more information for you guys to let you know exactly. It's about dancing, and it's really cool. So trust me, it's cool. I don't have it, but it's cool. But thank you all very much, and we look forward to seeing you guys soon. And thank you so much for listening. And Johnny Boy, have a good night, honey bunny.
All right, good night, everybody. See you Sunday.
Thank you. Night, everybody. Stay safe. Take care. Bye-bye.